Let's pray. Gracious God, as we come to your word and we think about what it means to follow you, we ask that you now speak to us through the Holy Spirit. Speak to our hearts, our knowledge, and our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, over Advent, you'll remember that each time we lit a candle, we shared something about our family traditions. I find traditions really interesting. My family migrated from England, and my parents came basically by themselves and had four sons. And we didn't have many traditions because a lot of their traditions was based around their life in England. And all of a sudden they were in Australia, a new country with new traditions. One tradition we did have, though, was to go down to Rosebud and camp on the foreshore over the summer holidays. We would do that from the moment school finished to the day before school came, went back. We did that for 25 years. It was a big part of my growing up. It was a great and probably really important family tradition. In fact, whenever any one of the boys goes down to that area, we always stop and park our cars in section 14 and go and have a look around and walk on the beach and have a look at how it's changed. Surprisingly, the beach has got smaller. Maybe I've got bigger, I'm not sure. But when we look at the reading this morning, we have no idea how long Zebedee's family had been fishermen in the Lake of Galilee. One thing I'm sure, it was probably more than 25 years. In ancient Middle Eastern traditions, family businesses were handed down from generation to generation. In fact, many were handed down over centuries. So when Jesus appears on the scene and tells Zebedee's sons, James and John, and their neighbours, Simon, who later becomes Peter, and Andrew, follow me, they drop everything and they do. Now, like me, I'm sure you've heard this story many times. One thing that is easy to skip over, though, is the astonishing fact that these men leave. They leave behind all they know, all their security, all their family. This sort of action just was not done. It is scandalous what these men did. But the way Mark tells the story sends my mind back through the scripture to a much larger story. The story of Abraham in Genesis 12, verse 1, which Abraham is told, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to a land that I will show you. To me, Mark is painting a picture for us. A picture where James, John, Peter and Andrew are to be like Abraham and leave all they know and all they did. There is a hint here that the old family traditions of the people of God are being left behind. God wants and is writing a new tradition, a new people, a new story. This new story, the kingdom of God. It is important that we note the timing of Jesus' arrival in Galilee. Jesus decides to act when John gets arrested. Until then, Jesus has been able to bide his time. You see, here is how God speaks. You see here how God speaks through situations as well as those still thoughts that we have, as well as that small voice in our heart. God speaks by situations. It is like God is saying, this kingdom movement is to go forward. It is time to act. It is time for Jesus to go public. But unlike John, who was a stationary prophet who just hung around the River Jordan, Jesus arrives in Galilee as this wandering prophet, urgently telling people that God's time had come. This is the moment. This is the time they've been waiting for. I wonder if we walk down Whitehorse Road today and ask people what repent and believe the good news means, I'm pretty sure that most people that we would ask would answer, stop sinning and become a Christian. And yes, to some extent, Jesus does want us to stop sinning. But repentance, I think, meant two rather different things to the people of Galilee when Jesus arrived. Firstly, it meant turning away from their social and political agendas. These agendas were driving Israel into a crazy war they couldn't win. And as history shows us, led by the Zealots, they did go into battle. They went into battle with the Romans. It would appear that this was done in an attempt to try and force God's hand to send the Messiah. However, this war resulted in Israel being totally ruined by the Emperor Titus around 73 CE or AD, depends on your vintage. Secondly, it meant to turn back to true loyalty to Yahweh, the God of Israel. As we know throughout the Old Testament, this is what had to happen before God would redeem Israel. Turn away from your idols and your laws and turn back to God. The call to repent is part of the announcement that it is time for a great moment of freedom, of God's rescue. It is why the call to repentance is always linked to believing. Other leaders around Jesus' time were calling people of Israel to trust in all sorts of things. Trust in their ancestry. Trust in their land. Trust in their temple. Trust in their laws. Surprisingly, though, there were some who called them to trust in God. However, that was as long as God did what they wanted him to do. One of the things Joe will tell you I love to do is I love to go down to fishing harbours and piers. I love to walk around the boats. I love to walk up and down piers. I love the smell of the ocean. And if I time it right, if I get there at the right time, I love watching fishermen hauling their catch. To see these hard men sending crate after crate of fish off their boats. You know, it would never and has never entered my mind to turn to one of them and say to them, follow me. Or even ask them to give up what they're doing and follow Jesus. So we need to understand just how earth-shattering this little story we have was and is. To leave everything you know and own and follow this stranger called Jesus. That is what Jesus asked them to do. He was calling them to trust the good news and to trust their God, Yahweh. For he was about to do something new. Jesus was asking them that if they wanted to get in on the act, they had to cut loose from all the other ties and trust him and his message. That wouldn't have been easy. It wouldn't have been easy then, and it isn't easy today. But it is what James, John, Peter and Andrew did. And as we heard last week, it was also what Philip and Nathaniel did. It is also what all Christians are called to do today, tomorrow, and on into God's future. We are called to abandon our nets because we have heard good news. News that is worthy of our lives. We are called to drop everything and go another way, a different way. We are called to reshape our lives in the response of God's call. So the thought I want to leave with you this morning is, what is God asking you to let go, to abandon, to walk away from, so that you can better answer his call to follow me? The question is always, what are your nets? What are your nets? Amen.